Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
All right, so we'll be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The Advent scripture this week actually starts with verse 16. I wanted to start with verse 11. And I'm just going to acknowledge something. I'm going to tell you it's because of verse 11 that I wanted to read there, not because of 13 and 14. There is this little kind of carve out where he talks about blessing those who lead your church. This is not that, so you can not ignore that part. It's part of the Bible, but just know that it's because of verse 11 that I wanted to go back that far. And so join me as we read verse 11 of chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, and we'll read to verse 24, so almost the end. And he starts out with verse 11. Paul writes this, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as you're already doing. And now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord, and admonish you and to regard them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always, pray constantly. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." So, every week we do tend to give space, and I will do that again this morning, to give space to any observations, any questions, any comments that we would have on this section of Scripture. And so if there are, I would welcome them now. This is a lot like our Bible study on Thursday night when we talked about this scripture. Because there was a little bit of, and you may be experiencing this in this moment, there is a little bit of, that's pretty plain. I think Bill's comment on, he's stepped out, but I think Bill's comment on Thursday was pretty self-explanatory. And I wouldn't disagree. Paul is not mincing words a lot here. But if there are any, I will give a little bit more space for you.
It's interesting that it has to be said, though, because it's not human nature. And we're talking about people that are coming from dark to light, like us, from dark to light. We have to be told.
Yeah. So what Laura said, in case you didn't hear her or you're joining us online, is one thing she found interesting was that it just needed to be said. Which is true. We're going to talk about that, actually, because that's one of the pieces of that. Anything else? Yeah, we don't get a sense this is a Christmas card.
He's writing this as the lifestyle of the Christian. And I think that's interesting how he's writing it versus how it's interpreted by kind of
Right. What Colin was saying was that, it's flown out of my brain a bit, how you started that, but that he wasn't writing this at Advent. We read this at Advent and see, oh yeah, this is how Christians act during this time, right? We give money. We're kind, we're generous, we're, whatever. And this is not what Paul is writing. He's writing this to a church in Thessalonica and those around it saying, hey, this is how you're to live all the time, not in December. Yes, Sue. So what Sue said was that when in reading this, it's interesting, and it's not, she acknowledged it's the all of the New Testament. And if we're being honest, it's all the Bible, right? I'm in Leviticus right now. I'm in Leviticus 30. Over the first 30 chapters of Leviticus, you know how many times I've heard as God is speaking to Abraham, to Moses, be holy as I am holy? What in the world? How? And so Sue was in this list is set high. The example she used was pray constantly. You may have a translation that's pray without ceasing. How do we ever get to that point? Although an interesting caveat that Sue mentioned was that a lot of believers or a lot of people are comfortable. A lot of church folks are comfortable with the bar set pretty low. Attainable, almost. And what good is it if we can do it on our own? Right? You ever heard a 30-year-old brag about being able to hit a home run in T-ball? Not that impressive. It's just not. Most of Scripture, and this actually is not a direction I was going, so thank you, Sue, but most of Scripture is written as God is writing these things, and as we read these stories from the Old Testament, we read these stories in the New Testament, we read these instructions to us. How in the world can I ever do that without God? How in the world, Moses asked God, can I ever lead your people out of Egypt? I can't even speak well. God said, don't worry about it. Moses still worried about it. He brought it up 2 or 3 times. Finally, God said, fine. You got Aaron right here with you. He can speak for you. And God allowed that to happen. They're on their way out. God said, don't go this way, go this way. Well, there's a sea blocking us there. Without God intervening, that sea does not open up and we can't make it through. It's beautiful that Scripture calls us to this thing that we cannot do on our own. Which brings us to exactly why this is Advent Scripture. What of this can we do unless God comes in and intervenes? I would argue none of it. Even if we took one of these things and I'm just going to make it my life's mission to do this one. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything. I'm just going to do that one thing. I'm just going to give thanks in everything. And then I have the worst day ever. Or a family member I dearly love passes away. Or any number of things that would make sense for us not to give thanks in everything. Rejoice always. Flies out the window. I blew it. I'm just going to pray without ceasing. I'm just going to do that one thing. I'm going to pray constantly. I got to go to sleep. What happens then? I wake up in the middle of the night. I go to the, okay, well, maybe it's just the waking hours. I get that. And then I wake up in the middle of the night and I walk to the bathroom. And I walk back to my bed. Oh, I forgot to pray while I was awake. What in the world? Like, you can see how there's, this is, these are all almost unattainable, even if we take them one by one. Although I would say, don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Because Paul gives us a key, not only here, but I like the way he uses it in Romans 12. You remember how Romans 12 starts out? Therefore, brothers and sisters, there's this line in there about being a living sacrifice, right? There's also a line in there. I'm saying line because my brain is not going to remember it right now. About how we'll be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That God's Spirit will transform us. Renewing our mind constantly. I've told y'all this little story, but I knew a pastor when I was younger. He wasn't that much older than me, maybe 10 years. I was probably 23. He was in his mid-30s. And he talked about very dearly, and this is how we kind of developed a friendship, was he had this mentor who was a pastor who got saved off the streets of Atlanta. He was in gang life, and he was a really rough character, and God radically changed his life. It was one of those testimonies we like, right? Not my testimony where I just grew up in church and I just, you know, kind of always knew that. We like those ones that are, was a switchblade and a cross. We like that stuff, right? And this was that story. And he talks dearly about how this guy mentored him and loved him and cared for him. Mine was similar but different. Mine was a very conservative, elderly gentleman, 75 years old from New Zealand, who taught me a lot about what it was to be a pastor, what it was to care for people, what it was to love people. And so we kind of developed this friendship because we had these mentors who loved us and cared for us and spoke into our lives in a lot of ways that we still look back on. And now 15 years after his death, I still look back on what Dr. Mitchell shared with me while he was here. And even in his death, it was awesome. Even in his death, he showed grace and mercy and things that I was like, oh, I'd like to be like that. But it's like, no, he wasn't trying to get me to be like him. He's trying to get me to be like Jesus, right? And so we shared this thing, me and this guy, and he talked about his mentor, the guy who was saved off the streets, and he would brag about how God had changed his life day by day. And he said, man, when I was young and when I first became a believer and when God saved me off the streets, I used to cuss like a sailor. After 30 years of ministry, and God transforming my life day after day after day after day, I don't cuss nearly as much as I used to. And it's that thing that happens in our lives where every day God is changing us. That was a freebie. That was unintentional, but that is here. So God is calling us to a higher standard. And Paul is calling us to a higher standard. And God was calling Paul to a higher standard. And so we have that here as well. Is there anything else? Yes, sir.
Showed up with a pickup truck and saw that car. They blew their mind. So they
Well, thank you for letting us know that, for sure. Excuse me. Did not mean to turn the mic on right as I was clearing my throat. I apologize. Thank you, Will.
You're welcome.
And that is what's expected. What Will just named is what is expected from believers during this period of time. We tell stories about it, right? We get the wise men who come bearing gifts. We have God who gave the greatest gift of all that we sang a beautiful song about just a few minutes ago, and we're going to sing a few more after the message. What I love about Thessalonians, what I love about this part of Thessalonians, is two things. Two things Paul's driving home. So one thing I wanted to hit was the what is Paul saying, and then I also wanted to hit why, and we kind of done both of those. We're just going to flesh it out just a little bit. Why we're talking about this at Advent. What is Paul saying? We're going to skip 12 and 13. But Paul says this, therefore, encourage one another, build each other up as you are already doing. Second half of verse 13 says this, be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See to it that no one repays evil for evil. And they don't do that to anyone, but always pursue what is good. Excuse me, always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. And then he has this little interesting thing. Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies. But test all things. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Paul is writing this to this church in Thessalonica as probably one of his very first. Most people unanimously agree this is probably Paul's very first letter. And he writes these letters over a span of 20 to 30 years. And this is 20 to 30 years after Christ walked on earth. So we're talking around 50, 51, 52 AD. Paul dearly loves his church. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be just like Christ. I want you to be holy as God is holy. It kind of sounds a little bit like what we just read in Ephesians, where he says, live your life in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have received. Both seem absolutely unattainable, but both are things that are expected from believers. When people have a problem with Christians, what do they generally have a problem with? Hypocrisy. The problem is we're all hypocrites because we're called to be holy just as God is holy, and we can't get there. And so there's this reality of what Paul is calling the church to be and what Paul is calling the church to do through Jesus. He's saying, this is what I want you to be. This is what I want you to do. Be at peace with everyone. Be an encouragement to those who are discouraged. Help the poor. Pray constantly. Rejoice in everything. Give thanks at all times. And then he goes in this thing about prophecies. I'm like, what in the world, Paul? What are you talking about? Let's chat just real quick about what the prophecies were. Oftentimes, we errantly think that prophecy is fortune telling. And it absolutely was not. Nathan the prophet, when he came to David, he certainly wasn't fortune-telling. He was past-telling. He's like, I know what you did. God revealed it to me. The prophecies and the prophets were those people who were revealed something by God and they spoke it out. Sometimes it was about a future event or something that may happen. If they didn't, there was a lot of prophecies that the Jewish folks read and heard that were like, if you don't do this, this is what's going to come out of it. And if you do this, this is what's going to come out of it. There were some prophecies that were like, this is what you've done, and now this is what God is saying to you. Remember the one prophet came to David, and he actually gave him three choices. He said, you've done something wrong. You've counted. You've tried to brag about how big your army is. You've counted them. And so here's what the Lord's going to do. And you get three options. You pick. None of them were good, in case you're curious. Some of them had to do with falling into the hands of their enemies. And David said, I don't want to fall in the hands of my enemies, because they're not gracious like my God is gracious. So let me fall into the hands of God's mercy. I'll take the plague. That was a prophecy. There was these things of hearing what God was saying and speaking it out. And Paul's writing, don't despise that type of stuff. But he also warns them. He's like, don't just believe anything you hear. Test it. Hold on to what is good. Flash forward. If this is the first letter he wrote, flash forward to the letter he wrote to the Philippians. I quote this all the time, where Paul tells him, work out your faith in fear and trembling. You got to hold on to this prophecy and test it and see if it is true and good and what God is saying. And then he has this little line after it, stay away from every kind of evil. He's writing this to a church in Thessalonica, who were a lot of non-Jewish converts to Christianity. They were people who would have sacrificed to idols. They were people who would buy temple prostitutes or contribute to the temple by paying for prostitutes there at the temple. They were the type of people who would cheat and swindle and lie and steal, because that's what they all did. And Paul says, don't do that. Stay away from every kind of evil. Basically, you have to leave your old life completely as far as the actions go. And so that's what Paul is saying. Why are we bringing this up at Advent? This is the shortest part, and then we're going to pray and be done. The reason we bring this up at Advent is because if we read that list, and we could add some other things to it, this is not an exhaustive list. It's not comprehensive. This is what it looks like for the kingdom of heaven to come here on earth. Remember that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray? Our Father who's in heaven, your name is holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. You look at these things, and it looks like a piece of heaven right here on earth. It was what the believers were called to do. Remember the instruction that Jesus gave his disciples, and then a little bit later he had 70 guys and he sent them out and he gave them these instructions. He said, go out, heal the sick, raise the dead, announce the kingdom of God is at hand. What does the kingdom of God at hand look like? Encourage one another and build each other up as you're already doing. Be at peace among yourselves. Exhort your brothers and sisters. Warn those who are idle. Comfort the discouraged. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. As we're starting to read through this list, does any of this seem like something Jesus wasn't or did not do? No. Jesus was the most patient. He was the one to give the most encouragement. He was the one to share the most love. He did pray constantly. He did rejoice in all things. Paul's basically saying, I want you to be like Jesus. Because that's what the kingdom of heaven looks like here on earth. But coming on the heels of that, and Paul's written it in other places before here, verse 24, Miss Barbara sent me an email this morning about this verse. But if you're asking yourself, how in the world can I do that? Paul doesn't leave you hanging. Verse 24. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Now, he's going to use you. That's not a hands-off approach. Okay, God's got it. I don't have to do a thing. That is true. But there is something that you're called to, right? There is this balance that we read in James where he talks about faith without works is dead. There is this outworking that God is doing in our lives and through us. But when we blow it, he is faithful to do it for us. To do what? To be merciful, to be gracious, to be forgiving, to give all these gifts that we don't deserve because of who he is and what he's done. That's the message at Christmas. It is a message of being called to be holy just as God is holy. It is a message to walk in love and kindness and goodness and peace. I love that scripture says, as far as it falls on me, I want to be at peace with everybody. I love that because I'm not there yet, but I want it. He who has called me is faithful to do it. The baby who's laying in the manger, who's so vulnerable that the way Frederick Buechner describes it, you could crush his skull in one hand. It's pretty dramatic, but it's true. That's how fragile an infant is. That's how God came. But God came so that we could have this, so that we could be these people, so that he could do this in our lives, so that he could give us the greatest gift. I'm going to read verse 23 and 24. And so that's why we read that at Advent, because this is a piece of who God is. So I'm going to read verse 23 and 24. We're going to pray. After our prayer, we're going to say a Nicene Creed together. There is communion down on both sides, although on one side you got to be a little careful, more careful than the other. And we're going to sing a few more songs about this baby who would come and change not only the world and their expectations, but change us to be people who can accomplish this. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Let's pray. God, thank you that there are all these things that we can't do on our own. But you are good. You are loving. You gave us an example. Just as John wrote in one of his letters, the only reason we even get to the point where we can love is because you first loved us and you showed us what that looked like. God, may we be people who rely on you and who love you and who trust that your word is true, that the good work you began in us, you're faithful to complete. God, I ask that you would give each of us mercy in the moments when we need it and grace. May we also be people who are merciful and gracious. Not because we can do it on our own, but because you have given us the power to do it. We love you, God. In your name, amen. If you're able, I'd invite you to stand with me. In the seat pocket in front of you or on the chair beneath you, there is a copy of the Nicene Creed. We're going to just read it together, just some things that we believe. And then we're going to sing a few more songs. So join me as we say these words. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. of all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.